Hello, everyone. Welcome to the fifth episode of All Over FPL's podcast. So as you all know, we have been previewing teams closing to the season. And today we thought we'll just preview Man City alone because of their importance in terms of FPL. And there's a lot of questions around them in terms of who to own and which trio is the best one. So today we have Alex. He's our Man City correspondent. As you all know, he's been doing a great job in terms of previewing Man City. It's a tough job, but then he's a man that wanted to do it and he's done a great, great job. Welcome, Alex, on the show. It's so glad to have you speaking with you finally. Yeah,
thank you very much for having me on. It's great to be here and I'm really excited to talk about City.
Yeah, so the other two are Suresh. Suresh is someone that I don't have to introduce a lot. He's a Spaces legend, as you know. So he's on a second stream last weekend. He was there to talk Man United, and today, as United fans, me and Suresh will be mostly moderators around the topic, with the other Man City fan being Srini. So Srini and Alex are two hardcore Man City fans, and we thought, who better than these two to talk about Man City, to cover everything about Man City. So that's it. So we're going on the stream. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Unlike other streams, wherein we club three teams together, we thought it doesn't do justice if we talk, put City with two other teams and talk about them. So it's just going to be Man City today, all in and all out. Yeah, and I hope it's useful for all of the listeners and watchers. Yeah, so to quickly summarize of what we'll be seeing today, it's going to be a roundup of what's happened in pre-season, including yesterday's Community Shield game. And then we'll be moving on to Man City's style of play, which could be different from what we have seen so far, slightly at least with Haaland being up front. And then we have segregated it three ways in terms of defenders, in terms of midfielders, in terms of, and then exclusively looking at Haaland. And then we'll be looking at which trios we have, which duo or trios we have from Man City. And then we wrap up with the predicted 11 for game week one. So that's the plan and agenda for this stream.
Like I was saying, we've had a smaller preseason than most other teams. We had two games in the US, one against Club America, one against Bayern. And then obviously yesterday we had the Community Shield against Liverpool. In that first game against Club America, we saw our typical 4-3-3 system where KDB was one of the center mids and he was pressing to make it a 4-2-4 at times. In terms of individual performances, Cancelo looked great that game. He was drifting infield from the left a lot. He had sort of a freer positioning than I'm used to seeing him play for City. Rodri and KDB in the midfield were standouts. They looked great. They didn't look 100%, as is expected from the first preseason game, but they looked great. Grealish looked great in that game. He was very fiery. The one thing that I was very excited to see with him is that he was picking the ball up from the defensive line often, and he was driving forward from there. And that's not necessarily something we've seen him do at City. We saw that more at Villa before. And so that's something I'll touch on later when we talk about Grealish. Mahrez was a bit off the pace that game. He had a great assist to KDB, but otherwise he disappeared. And then Cole Palmer and Julian Alvarez showed great potential that game. And so I think we'll get to them later and talk about them. Secondly, we had the 1-0 win against Bayern. That game was a bit weird because of the weather delays. Haaland scored the one goal in that game, and then there was about a 20-30 minute break for Lightning, and then there was the weird 40 minute halves. So that game was a bit weird, but generally we saw the same 4-3-3 system. KDB was pressing in the 4-2-4 like we can expect. That game particularly, Diaz and Ake at the back looked great together. The back line that game was Wilson Esperon starting at left back with Cancelo on the right, and Bayern created quite a few chances, as you would expect a team like Bayern to do, but generally Diaz and Ake were handling them, and that was something that I really liked to see. Cancelo was at left back against America, and here we saw him at right back, and his attack was a bit more subdued. We'll talk about Cancelo at left back versus right back later on, but he looked a bit off at that game, and that was a bit questionable. Rodri and KDB were once again great. I didn't mention Bernardo. The first game, he was all right. Second game against Bayern, he had a bit more in him. But that midfield of Rodri, Bernardo, and KDB is generally what we can expect. Grealish looked great again that game. Haaland looked stellar. And Mahrez was once again a bit off the pace. I think in that game, in Haaland's debut, we'll talk about Haaland at depth later on. But it was really interesting to see the sort of transition in play for us to having Haaland on the pitch. It wasn't all that different, but you could definitely see that there was a bit more focus to get him the ball, sometimes forcing it. And so that's something to take note of. And then yesterday, the Community Shield, perhaps probably the most important game regarding our Game Week 1 decisions for City. That was a closely contested game, 3-1 result. The XG overall was 2 to Liverpool, 2.26 to City. Haaland amazingly racked up 1.59 XG, but his finishing was very off. It was a very uncharacteristic game for Haaland. Grealish looked all right, not too great. Mahrez was a bit off the pace. When Foden and Alvarez came on, we saw a bit more liveliness within the City attack. We'll talk about that later. But the two most important things from this game that I think are relevant to an FPL perspective are, one was the formation. In the first two games, we played our 4-3-3 with KDB generally staying back alongside Bernardo, pressing when we were out of possession. What we saw yesterday, though, was pretty much almost a straight 4-2-4. Bernardo dropped alongside Rodri, and KDB played as a... He played the free role, but he was generally playing as a striker. And my theory with that is that when Pep is playing specifically, especially Haaland and Mahrez together, two players who are not the best pressers, he needs that extra presser in the front line. And while we can play that 4-3-3 with KDB drifting upwards at times, what we saw more yesterday was a bit more consistency where KDB was playing as a second striker almost. And so I think that's very relevant when we talk about KDB's FPL performances and the potential there. But also just generally when we talk about City, I think that's a bit different. So we'll get at that later. But that was the most one of the most important points I thought. And then the second thing, which sort of I've been questioning for a while, is can Bernardo still play right wing? And when Gundogan subbed on for KDB, the front four changed to Foden on the left, Alvarez and Haaland as the two up top, and then Bernardo went on that right wing. And so we'll talk later about, with Jesus and Sterling leaving, the potential for Mahrez and others on the right wing position. But it was very interesting for me to see Bernardo get some minutes at right wing there.
Yeah, interesting, Alex. That right wing is an addition to ponder, because Bernardo is known to play right wing and he's had a lot of success in that position. So I had one question around City's preseason, because it's weird to see City play just three games. Was it something that was planned, or because every other preseason City played at least 4-5 at the minimum. So was there any planning around this to play less, probably have an intense training session, or is it something that Haaland is here, so there's a lot more in the background happening in terms of tactics change that resulted in City playing less this preseason?
Yeah, I think it's a bit interesting to see. I think the main reasoning for it, in my opinion, is that there was such a short break between the end of the season, which last season was so congested in terms of fixtures. You know, we've heard players like KDB talk about it a lot, about the time that they're putting in and only having, you know, a few weeks off of vacation before getting right back into it. And so I think generally that was the main reason for the structure of our preseason. I don't think Pep or the coaching staff are generally too worried about most of our players sort of getting up to speed quickly, especially when we don't necessarily have the toughest of fixtures in those first 3-4 weeks.
Yeah, understood. Yeah. So I'll just...
And it's a pretty well-oiled machine, right, when it comes to City. So there's not much to tweak, or, you know, players to settle in and stuff, except Alan probably. But he will also bid in pretty quickly, I believe.
Yeah, just another question that I want to switch to Srini. So I was very impressed by the comments that Pep had on KDB, because he said he's the strongest I've seen in preseason. And last year, he didn't start the season well, having come back from the Euros late. So how much of a good preseason, an injury-free preseason, do you see important behind KDB as an FPL
assistant? Yeah, so what exactly Pep quoted about KDB after the first two preseason games was that he has never seen KDB perform like this in a preseason. It was the best he has seen him in a preseason, something on those lines. So I feel the midfield three KDB, Rodri and Bernardo, all three are in very good rhythm already from the right from the first game. They didn't, it looked like they were continuing from last season, and all three looked really sharp all the three games. And KDB was subbed off in the Community Shield game. That was mainly because he looked little off and tired last game. But I think he could have done better. Like Pep wanted more solidity in the center, so he was removed, and some of the through balls he could have played in Haaland a few times, and it was not a bad game on KDB. So to his standards, it was a decent game for him. So that was the reason behind the substitution, and I think he'll start all the games and look to play 80-85 minutes and he won't be removed if City are trailing or drawing, I think. So he's nailed on to start, and I think like Alex mentioned, the interesting positions he's taking, I think he can give Son a tough run at 12.0. We could look at KDB at some point in the season.
Yeah, but it's interesting though, Alex, is it? Because it's going to be a case-by-case game, as in where we'll be seeing KDB. Because if it's Mahrez or some of the less known pressers playing in the right wing, I think KDB still does that regular role. But then if it's Mahrez or if it's someone else that doesn't press that well, I think if he goes up front, it's going to be interesting. So would you see him as a 2-3 game week kind of player that you can get in, hop in, hop off for those kind of periods? Or do you see him as a prolonged FPL asset? Yeah.
I think somewhere in the middle, generally. I think to start the season, we want to own those City players until at least game week 5. If you're going with a City attacker, unless in the case of Haaland, I will say, if you're going with KDB or one of the 8 mil mids or Grealish, I think you want to hold them until game week 5 when we have that Forest fixture. And so looking at the period that we're looking at right now, I think KDB, if you want to go with him, he's an own for those first 5 game weeks, and then you assess them. I think when you talk about the formation and the slight differences there, I think, yes, he's perhaps slightly a better FPL asset if we're in this 4-2-4 and he's sort of up as that second striker. But even if we're seeing something very similar to last year where he's playing sort of alongside Bernardo as one of as an 8 and he's not pressing completely the entire game, I think he's still an amazing asset then. You know, he's able to take up those deep lying spaces and play a bit more of those through balls, where almost yesterday we saw him as a runner almost more so than the one playing those balls.
Yeah, interesting. So I'll just move on from the preseason bit. So this is in terms of how City will play. We all know how, as Suresh mentioned just before, City are a well-oiled unit, so there's not a lot of tactical tweaks. But you made an interesting point of Haaland being the focal point in the preseason games he's played and City played to him. So will that be something that we see a lot more this season? Because Pep always prioritized the system more than a player, but Haaland is kind of a player that's above a system. So do you see Haaland being the focal point in a Man City attack throughout the season, Alex?
Yeah, I think for me, the key thing here is that I think we'll see a new identity for City, but not necessarily a new style. I think that with the addition of Haaland and with Alvarez in the team now as well, I think we'll definitely see a bit different tactically in terms of the small things. Like we're saying, like, who is that second center mid joining to make it a 4-2-4? How are we seeing the wingers interact with the fullbacks, etc.? But generally, the style of play is more or less the same. I think the one big thing for Haaland and the ramifications of that for the other attackers is he going to suck away chances from the other assets? I think that's sort of the biggest change, is sort of the force feeding of Haaland in a way. I think in the two preseason games that Haaland featured in, we saw that the chemistry wasn't necessarily there. And we saw a few times where City would play a ball that, you know, in the past 2 years, we wouldn't expect them to play. And so there's going to be a bit of time getting used to that. Yeah. And maybe there will be a slight shift in style in terms of the sort of division of chances. But generally, I expect the same from City. I expect us to have 60 to 70% possession against almost every team. I expect us to be up in the attacking third. I expect the wingbacks to be pushing up. And I expect it to be a sort of front 5 almost in the attack.
Yeah. So you made an interesting point of a lot of balls being played that generally City don't play. And I remember having a word with Srini yesterday, and he said KDB was slightly frustrated with Haaland here or there when a lot of through balls ended up missing going to him. So I moved to Srini once again. So how was it to see Haaland as an FPL asset? Because City kind of slightly tweaked the play in which they are not used to playing in the past. So how excited are you to see Haaland, and how impressive is the chemistry that's coming across between KDB and the other City attackers with Haaland? Yeah. I think you're on mute.
Something what I would say from the Community Shield game is that like Haaland is, it's too early to judge Haaland from the Community Shield. It's just one game, and it is very, very early to decide whether to have him in your game with one team or not, because of the quantity of the goals he can get. And it is genuinely exciting to see, even though City don't have someone like Trent or Robertson to pump in those crosses to Haaland. I think still Haaland will be a very good asset when City play through the middle or the center. Like, he can still take up those very good positions. Like, you could have seen, he was there for most of the short rebounds. Even the chance he has missed, he was in the right position after the Foden shot that was blocked. He can be good for the rebounds, and even though City don't cross much, I still think he can link up with the likes of De Bruyne and still make a lot of goals this season.
Yeah, interesting. So one more thing that we talk about a premium asset is that whenever they come from a new league, is the tax of other leagues, especially coming from Bundesliga, it's popularly known as Bundesliga tax. So I move on to Suresh, because you both know a lot more about Haaland. So I moved to Suresh because he's a United fan. We saw what happened with Sancho last year. There's a lot of likes. That's a trend setting from Bundesliga to same with Werner as well with Chelsea. So how skeptical are you? Or because I know you're still not on Haaland, you're not so. Alex will correct that with the show ends. But for now, how has been your FPL decision of having that player? Yeah,
I mean, still, the point you made is pretty valid still. You know, despite all the hype around Haaland, you know, being that kind of a bully who's that proper number nine and kind of a stuff. But I'm still a little bit of hesitance is there in my mind, you know. One is that, of course, he's coming from a different league, so he has to settle in, you know, adapt to Premier League and all that. The other is his injury track record, you know, and the article that most of us might have read in Athletic, you know, how Pep wants to manage his minutes and all that. Of course, it's not going to be like he's going to be hooked off, you know, the 60th minute or 70th minute. He would get definitely ample amount of time, but I'm just wanted to see at least a few games, you know, how he's bedding into Premier League, how he's settling into the team. And it's not that easy, you know, the kind of low block teams that we have in Premier League is not something he could have faced week in, week out in Bundesliga. So those kind of a things, I'm just quite interested in, you know, observing for a couple of games and then probably jump on to someone like Haaland. So that's the bit of hesitance that I have. But otherwise, there's absolutely no doubt what kind of a damage that he could do when he's, you know, on song. And we saw the Community Shield game yesterday. He could have come out with, you know, one or two goals easily. But that's the kind of wait and watch approach that I'm taking, basically.
Yeah, interesting. To add a bit of my perspective, so I also watched Sancho play closely last year. And my take on this is that, of course, there is this point of getting adapted to the Premier League and it not being as, it being more demanding than the Bundesliga. There's a lot more low blocks in the Premier League. But to me, Haaland is a player that's above it. As in, he's a generational talent, in my opinion. Because for a player of that young player, he was always linked to a move to Real Madrid. But then he chose Man City. And Pep Guardiola to play here. So I think he settles right in. Yeah, of course, there's a lot more uncertainty here and there. But one point that Alex made to someone on Twitter when he posted the blog, I think it is we shouldn't go by the game that the performance that he has in the Community Shield game, because someone pointed saying his selection depends on his Community Shield game. And coincidentally, his performance was not that great yesterday. He missed the chance. So I'm not going to put a lot of weight of what happened yesterday because every good player misses a chance, and his XG was still good yesterday, and it could have been a goal or a couple in any other day. So my thoughts that I would love to go right in. So before we go on to the next one, so that's an interesting question that I'll flash on the screen. So probably Alex or Srini, this is about Rodri and Phillips. Phillips is a huge signing, but he's expected to start from the bench. So at some point, would a double pivot happen this season? Because he's too good of a player to be warming the bench, especially with a World Cup spot in line for him as well. Yeah,
this is actually a question from a friend from home. So what's up, Connor? Yeah, okay. But personally, I don't think so, to start at least. I think there's been a lot of talk on Twitter, and some people have been talking about the potential for a 4-2-3-1 with KDB as a 10, as more of just a steady 10. I don't see that. I think it could be used tactically, more so in the UCL against specific teams. But sort of like Srini pointed out in the beginning, the combination right now of Bernardo, Rodri, and KDB is just too good to break up. Yeah. And so I think relative to FPL, especially for this first, let's say until the international break, for this first gap that we're looking at, I don't think that this is necessarily going to happen. I think it's something to look at and keep in mind for the long term. But I think for the in the short term, Phillips is just a Rodri backup.
Yeah, understood. Yeah, all right. Yeah, so now let's move on to defenders. So we jump to the next section of just talking about defenders, especially considering the fixture run that City have. It's arguably the best any team has. If you take Liverpool, they play a couple of teams from the top six, so it's kind of tricky there in terms of returns. But City have a great run necessary, in my opinion. There have been even claims of a double City defense in a lot of teams, which can touch base in a little bit. So what's the general expectation around City's defense? I'll go to Srini to begin with, because Laporte is obviously missing until September due to a surgery. So what's the shape of City's defense currently, considering Zinchenko is also not there now? Yeah.
So we could have seen last season, City has the best defensive record in the league. They have the best XGC and stuff. So what I think, City has the good fixtures till game week 8 also. And at the moment, with as you mentioned, Laporte is out till September. He had a surgery, and Pep told we don't want to push things, and it would be it would take time for him to ease. So I guess it would be Ake Neil at the left center back and Diaz at the right center back at the moment. And there is always Stones. Stones was there in the Community Shield game, and he was there in the square, and he wasn't. He didn't get a chance to come on. So I think till game weekend, I think RK keeps his place. Stones should be used more tactical, maybe at right back at some point. And so for the short term, I think RK will start the initial 3-4 games, who has been looked really solid in the games he has played. So yeah, that would be the back four. Cancelo at left back, and I'm assuming City don't sign a left back as it stands, and Cancelo at left back, and Ake, Diaz, and Walker at the start of the season, for the first 3-4 games at least.
Yeah, so that's an interesting question to related with Ake as well. So that's Varun asking, is Ake nailed till the international break? I think, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think Ake is nailed till the international break. Mostly, I'm not sure if Stones may get a run in out of sudden, but I don't see Pep putting in Stones at least for game week 1 for sure. So I think RK starts, and if he continues good, he surely keeps his place.
Yeah. So Alex, isn't RK was linked with the move to Chelsea, and then that deal didn't happen. So is there any guarantees in minutes that he's in starter in case Laporte is not there? That would kind of make him a sure starter, at least still for the first few game weeks, in your opinion?
I'm not as high on him as Srini is, I think. I would expect 5 to 6 starts for Ake between now and game week 8. I think, like Srini said, I think there's the potential. I think the thing that goes in Ake's benefit, one is that he's left-footed. And so Diaz is nailed. I think we can definitely say that. Diaz and Cancelo are the two players who are nailed in our defense until the international break. And so we have 3 other players then, maybe 4 with Wilson Esperon, but pretty much 3 other players, Stones, Walker, and Ake, who can fill the 2 remaining slots. The good thing for Ake is that he can play left center back and he can play left back. And so we might see some games where Ake is at left back and Cancelo is at right back with Stones and Diaz in the center. We might see some games with that same 4, but with Ake at left center back and Stones at right back, like Srini just said. And so I think comparing Ake to Walker for a second, comparing the 2 5-million assets, I do like Ake more than Walker in the short term, because I think that there's more flexibility there in the defense. However, I do think that there's the potential that there are 2 or 3 games in our first run of 8 that Ake doesn't start and Pep goes with a back 4 of Cancelo, Stones, Diaz, and Walker.
Interesting. So I'll then just move to Suresh. So what's your take on Cancelo? So because he had a phenomenally good season, and he's the only defender to have scored more than 200 points, not from Liverpool. So it is always the Liverpool defenders that scored 200 plus points, and Cancelo is the first player to break that. And the feeling was always that he could have had more, because he's someone that shoots constantly, not that much. He got just 1 goal, if my memory is right. But he's 7 million now. So what's your take on Cancelo as an asset? Is he 100% nailed in your team if you have him? Or do you have thoughts of swapping him to save some money there? Yeah.
Oh, Cancelo is absolutely 100% in my team. There's no doubts about that. Initially, I probably, probably a couple of weeks back, I was not even making any drafts. So I was having a thought like probably Edison plus a Diaz kind of a combo. But then, the thought that going without Cancelo itself is really scary. He's that kind of a player. As you rightly mentioned, he could have had more. Unfortunately, he just had 1 goal and probably 11 or 12 assists, if I'm not wrong. Yeah, so I'm expecting more from him this season, to be honest. There's more chances that he gets more goals this time, because he kind of the guy who comes, on the left or the right, and he's always inching to shoot, whenever there is a chance to, take an aim at the goal and stuff. So he's 100% for me. There's no probably, unlike Liverpool, where we have those 3 or 4 assets where we can, these guys are nailed on. We need not have, worry about the minutes or the rotation and those things. Cancelo is one such player out of the entire City squad. We have seen this in the past season. And so there's no doubts in my mind that Cancelo is one of the most important FPL assets from City. And such a value still at 7 million, he could easily outscore any of your 7 million midfielders, or 7 or sub 7 million midfielders. So there's no doubts at all. He's such value, and he is, 200% in my team.
Just to add to what Suresh told, I remember the quote from Pep last season. He mentioned, Cancelo is that kind of player who doesn't need days to recover. He is someone who wants to play games, and that is his way of recovering for the other games. So I think, I have one question for Alex. I was looking at the numbers of Cancelo at left back and right back last season. And it looks like Cancelo will be starting the season at left back. But I was looking at the stats from last season, and it there was a general myth that he was better at left back. But the numbers say otherwise, that he has been a better asset at right back, where he has better expected goals, shots inside the box, expected assists, and big chances created. The stats are in favor of Cancelo at right back. He'll be playing at left back initially for the start of the season. So what do you think on this, Alex?
Yeah, I think that's interesting. We have seen a lot of talk about him being better at left back than right back. And so, yeah, I haven't seen anyone put together the data, so that's interesting that you say that. I'd love to see that data. And yeah, I think I agree that I think one of the sort of misconceptions with Cancelo almost is that he's not as attacking as the alternatives in terms of the other fullbacks. The benefit for Cancelo when it comes to FPL is that he's close to them, and City's defense is generally better than the other the alternatives. And so the combination of that with the better defense and those slightly lower attacking numbers makes him a better asset, or just as good of an asset as, let's say, Reece James or one of the Spurs fullbacks. I think one thing to look out for is that one thing that I was just thinking about last night is that with Haaland in the team, he could be better at right back than left back because the potential for crosses is there. We don't necessarily see him put in all that many crosses from the right. It's more so he's playing through balls or sort of cutting inside with the winger overlapping or vice versa. And so I don't know. I think for me, in my mind, I don't necessarily weigh in the left back versus right back too much because, like we're saying, it's sort of just like conjecture at this point. But I do think it's something to monitor and keep in mind. But I do think that and Surya, how set are you on Cancelo going into the season? Is he involved in your team?
I love Cancelo as an FPL asset. I captained him the same double game week in which KDB got that haul. So he still did good to save me from a big red arrow. he did outscore Salah that game week as well. And an interesting point that I keep saying is whenever he shoots, I always have this mindset that this one goes in, but then it didn't go in a lot of times. He's someone that I see is also a big game player. For a defender to be a big game player is something very crucial. He did rip apart United, all of the stuff to see at Old Trafford. He got a double-digit haul that gaming as well. So he's laughing. Yeah, so that's the thing. He's someone that could do well in a big game. He guarantees you 200 points and it's 7 million. Like Suresh said, there's hardly a few midfielders that you can even vouch for to do that. No one's done it. Say someone like Bowen, who just crossed 200 last season. Bowen got 205 points and Cancelo got 201. So that's it. So he's someone that's absolutely nailed on in my team because he's so much value and he consistently starts as well. But I'm still not sold over that aspect of going another City defender. Diaz could be one, but still he's too expensive to my liking for a center back. That's one thing. There's Walker at 5. I can touch base on that a little bit later now.
Just to add on to that Cancelo discussion, so he has taken up the number 7 shirt as well. That's something, you know, not quite often we see a defender taking number 7 shirt. So that's also, you know, one way or the other, it pretty much emphasizes he's a midfielder and not a defender.
I hope he performs like a number 7 as a defender in FPL literature, which definitely gives more points. Yeah, so that's on me, Alex. Like, that's what I have was Cancelo. A lot of times people have a notch below when they talk about Cancelo with Trent, but I see both of them at the same level. He's not that talked upon much, but that's for us to ponder. So I'll move on to the next one. This is someone that's 2 million cheaper and could still be playing on the wings as a fullback at 5 million. So, seemingly looks like Cucurella is not happening this summer. So, what's your take on this, Srini? Because you have someone that's a whole 2 million less, or say for 12 million, you could get two City fullbacks starting for your team rather than say go with a center back like Diaz. So, what's your take on Walker as an FPL asset?
First things first, Walker starts the initial 3-4 weeks for sure is what I think at right back. But the thing to be clear is, out of the 11 players, I mean, out of the 10 players excluding Ederson, he is the one I think is least likely to produce attacking return in FPL terms. I think even Ederson may get the assist at some point, but Walker is taking up that role, so you can't expect attacking returns. But City defender at 5 million is too difficult to ignore, but like what Alex mentioned, I think RK is a better pick, or I would pay the extra 1 million and go for someone like Diaz, who could get in those goals from the corners or set pieces. And Diaz is also very good at bonus points. So I think I'm still slightly off Walker. Even at 5 million, I think someone like Trippier can do good. We need to compare on those terms. Like, if Trippier can outscore Walker over the first 8 weeks, is what I'm thinking on. And I think even though Trippier has City and Liverpool in Game Week 3 and Game Week 5, I still think he can outscore Walker. Because assuming Walker gets benched at 2 games out of the initial 8 games, he plays 6 games, and I think Trippier will outscore Walker. So I'll take the pay the extra 1 million to get Diaz, who gets very good bonus points also, or I would pay, if at all I'm going for a 5 million difference, I think from City it would be RK for the first 4 game weeks.
Yeah, I agree with that. I second that thought.
Interesting.
I think
so. For the sake of time, yeah.
I was just going to say that, I think Ake is better in the short term, and also at 5 million, I think there are plenty of other viable options that can match or exceed what Walker will produce, even if he's nailed for the first 4 games. So I think with those question marks and with that just taking up another City slot in the team, I'm going to stay away from Walker at the moment.
Okay, that's good. So the last bit for from the defense is that Edison came, considering him as well when you talk about that second defender slot. Or I'll go to Suresh first. What's your take on a goalkeeping assert from a 60, like, say, even considering Alisson and Mendy and Edice, make them a viable option in FPL?
Yeah, for me, see, I've never been a guy who spends more than 4.5 for a goalkeeper. That's how my playing style has been, all along. But this season, it's a bit intriguing, FPL pricing these premium goalkeepers, at 5.5, that kind of gave me the idea of trying a couple of drafts. So I did try one with Edison and Diaz, just to cut some costs, put the Cancelo price onto shuffle around and stuff. But I truly like the idea of having Edison, as we just talked about Walker at 5 million with all the doubts around. If you just pay that 0.5 extra to someone like Edison, you almost settle, even you can continue with Edison for the entire season as well, or at least for a very good period of until your first wildcard or something. So Edison is definitely at 5.5, definitely worth considering, but it depends again, the way how you structure your team, that matters a huge part in it. What about you, Srini?
Yeah, so I'm thinking of, it's like, as you know, it mainly depends on the structure of your squad, but what I see playing a premium goalkeeper in FPL is, it's a little boring for the game boys. Like, you don't see much. If you're 4.5 defender, 4.5 goalkeeper can get you few bonus points. And I think I'm more of the 4.5 and 4 million keeper and set and forget till the first half of the season or till the first wild card. So I'm off Ederson or the premium goalkeepers for the fact. I think if someone like Raya or Sanchez I put in and they get 140 to 150 points throughout the season, I think I would take it than pay extra 1 million to get those 170 points. Extra 1 million for those 20 points is, particularly when you have unlimited transfer where you can swap the 4.5 goalkeepers at game week 8, I can swap Raya to a Sanchez. Again, game week 16, I can do the another thing. I think the 4.5 goalkeepers appeals more.
Yeah, interesting. So, personally, I myself have never used a premium goalkeeper for a long time, except for when I was a casual and I used to go with De Gea because I love United. that was the only time I used the premium goalkeeper. And it still sticks because if you get one and then their defensive form is not that great, probably like someone like Alisson a few years back when Liverpool are not good defensively, you would need at least 2-3 transfers to get them out, like switch to another goalkeeper and then use that fund to probably spread the cash around. So it's too much of a I would, even though it sounds safe, I would say if it fails, it costs you a couple of transfers, and transfers are precious, especially now that the season is split into four smaller halves. So I would rather start at the 4.5 keeper, watch them play, make them see them make saves, and see if the FPL admin changes save points or not, and then probably debate about bonus and then go about it. Yeah. So to conclude, I think we're all pretty much on the lines that there's still value elsewhere, even though Ederson comes at 5.5 million. Yeah.
Yes. All I am pretty high on Ederson personally.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Yeah.
I do think, I mean, I think we'll talk about the combinations of double city or triple city later at the end.
Yeah.
But I do think that Ederson, like you're saying, for like the season is cut into very small portions this year.
Yeah.
And right now we can, most people can look at a 5 to 10 game week period. And I think, yes, long term, there will be a 4.5 or 5 million goalkeeper that emerges as the best value. But we don't know that right now. And so with those unknowns, I think Ederson is just a very, very good safe pick to begin the season. I know a lot of the predictive models like him. And so I think just with those questions, I personally am on a 5-0 goalkeeper, but I don't see any wrong in going with Ederson at 5-5.
Interesting. All right. So now that we've concluded defense, we'll move on to midfielders. So it's just mids. We'll see Haaland separately a little bit later. So it's all known, right? But especially that Sterling is not here anymore, and there's constant changes in now that Jesus is also not there. He used to play as a winger. So what happens now, Srini, in terms of the spots in left wing, right wing, and also in midfield?
Yeah. So first we'll touch base on Mahrez and how he's likely to start at the right wing spot at the start of the season with both Jesus and Sterling gone. I think he starts this season at right wing. But as he started both the preseason games and the Community Shield as the right wing, so I guess he's nailed for game week one. But Mahrez, as a FPL asset, still I'm not yet convinced, because in both the preseason friendlies, he didn't look that great. He was okay-ish. And particularly the Community Shield game, where he should have tracked back and tracked Robertson most of the times, and Robertson has many wide space, open spaces in the box while attacking. I think that's what Pep would expect from his winger, which Jesus and Sterling did really good. I think he won't be happy with Haaland and Mahrez not tracking back, and I think Mahrez won't be nailed for the initial few weeks. He might be nailed, but that is his spot to lose. But I guess someone like Foden or Bernardo Silva or even Alvarez looked really good. I think Pep will like someone like Alvarez, even though if you're not getting the goals, he wants someone to track back and do all the running work. So I think Mahrez is a big trap in FPL at 8 million. His per 90 stats are really, really good, because he did perform really well last season. And among the 8 million mids, it does appeal because it looks like he is nailed, but I am sure he's not nailed after the few weeks. Because he wasn't impressive, I would wait and watch and then go for Mahrez. So next, coming to other City assets, I think Foden didn't play the two preseason games in America because of travel restrictions, and it was Mahrez and Grealish who started on the wings in both the games. So, but he there was something like he had trained separately and he was still in match fitness. He did look really good in the Community Shield game after he came on. Like Alex mentioned, after the substitution, City looked really good and City were more direct. He got a few chances where he could have, even the Alvarez goal, I think he should have put it off in the first place, where it was a very good chance. And I think he will be in the scheme of things, but I think he can start left wing, right wing, and even play the number 8 role if required, where Bernardo Silva plays at the moment. So, I would still go off Foden also at the moment, considering the rotation, what we can expect. Yeah, I think Alex would agree to it. What do you think about the mids? Who is the City mid you are targeting, and what are your thoughts on Grealish, Alex?
Yeah, and one question before I get to that, actually, for you. What do you think our preferred front three is when sort of everything settles this season? Who do you see as our preferred front three?
I think the preferred front three will be still it will be Mahrez, Haaland, and Foden take up that spot. I think Grealish will be more or less involved. Grealish hasn't played in his life at right wing, but I think Foden may be tried at right wing, and if things work out, there'll be Foden switching to Foden or even Bernardo Silva playing at the right wing, and Mahrez obviously playing the other games, or like it would be rotated, but I think it will be Foden or Bernardo at right wing, Haaland, and then Grealish after the initial 3-4 weeks is what is my guess.
I agree.
So quick question, guys. So I mean, what is your take on all the Bernardo Silva moving away of City? So how much is that going to impact, you know, because there's not much, there was one signing which you guys were linked with, with Brighton for Cucurella, but that is also looks like off. But with Bernardo is as a backup option, he can play a deep or he can play on the right and stuff. But if he gets a move out of City, so then what do you guys think? Who is going to own that right wing spot?
Well, I don't think Bernardo's leaving. I don't think there's any question about that. I'll say that first off. I know that there were talks about Barcelona coming in, but I'm almost 100% sure that that's not happening. I do think that sort of to talk about the departures of Sterling and Jesus, though, you know, we've lost Sterling and Jesus, and we've gained Haaland and Alvarez. And between Sterling and Jesus, in the Prem last season, they played over 4,000 minutes together. They had 18 goals and they had 13 assists. That is a massive chunk of our attack that is being lost. And so there are two things there. One is, who are the minutes going to get redistributed to? And the second question is, who are the goals and assists going to get redistributed to? Haaland is the sort of easiest answer for that question. I think avoiding injuries, we can expect him to play between 2,000 and 2,500 minutes in the Prem this season. That's sort of been the number that City mids and attackers have been sort of hovering around in the past few years. We'll see every now and then a player get closer to 3,000 minutes in the attack, but mainly it's that 2,000-minute mark that we see the attackers hover around. And so if we assume that Haaland is taking, you know, 2,000 or 2,500 of those minutes in the attack, we still have 1,500 to 2,000 minutes left over from Sterling and Jesus that other attackers are going to have. I think what Srini was just talking about Foden is really important, because Foden can play left wing. He can play false nine when Haaland's not playing. He can play right wing, and he can play center mid. He's the only player in our attack that can play any of the front four or five positions. And I think that's really important. With Foden as well, we've seen him get more minutes every single season. And I think this is the one season to really pay attention to if his minutes are going to increase or not. Because last season he had 2,100 minutes in the Prem. And like I said before, like that's the sort of baseline marker for any City attacker, is that you can almost guarantee that they're going to get, you know, 1,900, 2,000 minutes right around there. So my big question, the thing that I'm most interested to see, is if Foden becomes that next main guy. My gut says that he is. I think that the preferred front three, like we were just talking about, is Grealish on the left, Haaland in the center, and Foden on the right. And then Grealish's only really real competition in terms of rotation is Foden. So Foden's going to pick up minutes there as well. He's going to, when Haaland gets rested, he's going to play false nine sometimes, KDB will sometimes. And then I think we'll see him play more of a Bernardo David Silva type role at center mid at times even. And so I think for me, long term, Foden is really the one to look at. I think there are concerns over Mahrez in terms of his minutes. He's lost pens. And I think the issue with pressing with him and Haaland up front is really, really something for concern, actually. I didn't buy into that idea too much when I first heard it. But after thinking about it more and more, and after looking at how those two have linked up in the beginning, I think that is a big concern. And then I think the other question is how much does Pep really trust Julian Alvarez? Because we've seen him. I think that's also the biggest question in terms of City's midfielders and attackers going into the season. Because Alvarez looks like an absolute player. He looks like he fits right into the City team. He looks like someone that Pep could trust to, you know, at the beginning, maybe not, but throughout the season, he looks like someone who Pep would start. So I'm really interested to see how Alvarez gets incorporated into this squad, because if you exclude him from the sort of conversation, it's very easy to sort of see the distribution of minutes in terms of the departures, but he is really that X factor. And I think that, you know, not necessarily as an FPL asset himself, but I think as someone who causes issues for the other City attackers, that's something really important to keep an eye out on.
Interesting. Interesting. Because Alvarez is someone that I thought might be loaned out, because there's so many Premier League clubs that wanted him on loan and is always linked to a move away. But then Pep trusting him up right up, and then he scored yesterday. That means he's someone that should be in the mix a lot more. There's also Cole Palmer that you touched based on in the article as well. He's another upcoming talent from the academy. I've known Srini has vouched for him as well in a few conversations that I've had with him around City Academy players. Does that also impact, say, someone like Grealish or Mahrez that play on the wings?
Yeah, I think more so Mahrez, because Palmer is an out-and-out right winger. He's only going to play on that right wing. Yeah, that's a big concern for Mahrez. Palmer is, I'm very high on him personally. I absolutely love him as a player. I want him to get more and more first minutes this season. I don't think that he'll get too many. I think we see him between 500 and 750 minutes over the course of the entire season in the Prem. But yeah, it is a cause for concern.
Interesting. Srini, you want to add anything on Palmer?
Yeah, nothing to add on Palmer. I would love to see him get more minutes as Alex told, and I think we all would agree on, me and Alex would agree on Mahrez minutes being getting reduced as and when the season goes on. And I would agree to what, nothing to add to what Alex said. Like, to conclude, like, for in long term, City, excluding KDB, Foden should be the best City mid. Yeah. But initial, I think I won't have him in my game week one squad, but I'll surely consider him at my wild card, when my first wild card for sure.
Yeah. So the last question before we move to Alan is that how much weightage would you both give to what happened yesterday? Because until yesterday, Mahrez and most importantly, Grealish was a community darling in terms of him as an FPL asset. But yesterday, both of them were hooked, and the kind of talks changed of them as a reliable FPL option, considering how good Alvarez and Foden were when they came in. So I know Alex has said this, like in terms of Haaland, we shouldn't look too much into what happens in the Community Shield game. But what's your thoughts on what happened yesterday in terms of Mahrez and Grealish? I'll go to Alex first.
I'd actually, Srini, if you could start this, that'd be great.
Yeah,
yeah, like that. I think to add up on Mahrez, I'm sure like we can surely ignore Mahrez, because there are other 8 million FPL mates like Saka who are potentially nailed to play even the 90 minutes. So I'll surely go in there, because Saka has amazing fixtures too. So coming to Grealish is something interesting. What I was thinking, in my opinion, was if City sign a left foot and left back, I think that would make Grealish a very good FPL asset, because Cancelo cutting inside, playing it at the left back, reduces Grealish's FPL potential. So I think Grealish had an ordinary game, but I'm sure he starts game week one on the. I think Foden is still not. I think it would take few games to Foden to start at the left wing. I think Grealish initially starts on the left wing, and it would be his spot to lose if he can get in few good performances. I think because there are not many 7 million midfield slots at the moment. He is a good punt to start, but I think I'm not sure, because I wouldn't go to Grealish, but he's not a bad punt at 7 million.
Yeah, I think weighing in yesterday, like we said earlier, I wouldn't put too much weight on that. However, I think, like I said before, the cause for concern is the Mahrez and Haaland combination in the attack. I think Mahrez over preseason has looked a bit off it. Mahrez generally is a player who can sort of disappear in a game and then pop up with a moment of magic. And so it's not necessarily uncharacteristic of him to see him this way. But I do think that when Pep looks at the attack and looks how it functions, especially in this initial phase, I think he sees Grealish more so as the guy that complements Haaland better than Mahrez, if we're just sort of weighing up those two options. I think Grealish's style of play is better suited for having a nine in the team. You know, there's all the things about a sort of second season bounce under Pep and whatnot. And I think just with the sort of looking at the full season, I think with his only competition on that left wing being Foden, and like I said, Foden being able to play in all these other positions, I do think we could see a spike in Grealish's minutes over the course of this entire season. And in the short term, he's certainly the City attacker outside of the two premiums that I like, because he's had that consistent run of starts in preseason. Like Srini said, Foden is probably not coming into the squad right away. Pep has talked about him like Cancelo as someone who can just come right in and play. But for the first few games, you know, Grealish is likely playing on that left wing. And, you know, I think just looking at it to own someone and take a punt on it for the first 5 weeks, I think that's someone that's great to just put in your team, see how he does for that first 4 or 5 weeks until the fixture congestion begins, and then just be happy with whatever result you got out of it. Because at 8 million, there are so many assets that Mahrez and Foden to begin with are just not really options. They're not in my thoughts. I don't think they should really be in anyone's thoughts for a game week one team. I think Foden will very quickly become in people's thoughts, but that's a conversation to have, you know, 2-3 weeks down the line at least. And so that leaves Grealish. And like Srini said, the 7 million price point is very, very interesting. And right now, the big thing with any City midfielder is that there's a sort of paradox at the moment where we have great fixtures, we have relatively cheap assets, we have no fixture congestion, but we don't necessarily know who's going to start. And so if you can figure out the player who's going to start for this period, you'll likely come away with some big returns. It's a risk, most certainly, but I think that Grealish is the one to punt on, because you save a million over those 8 million midfielders who he can most certainly match the value of for those first, for that 5 week run that I'm talking about. And even if he doesn't, you're spending that 1 million elsewhere to upgrade someone who will most likely provide you the value there. So for me, I think Grealish is the one to punt on at the beginning of the season. And like Srini said, long term, Foden is the one that is probably most important.
Amazing. That I think we couldn't have summarized that much better than this. But like the last one is to Suresh, because he has Grealish in his draft now. I want to make life difficult for him, so I'm going to make this question. So you have two United assets, Rashford at 6.5, Sancho at 7.5, and Grealish at 7. Okay, even in terms of Rashford, he might not be nailed slightly, but Sancho is a sure starter as right wing at 10.5, and Grealish is 7. So how would you compare these two? Because as Alex pointed out, there is no fixture congestion. There is clear-cut fixtures for City. United have a tough run of fixtures here and there. But then the minutes is there for Sancho. So how would you compare these two? Because these both are elite attackers in from an FPL perspective, playing for a big 16. So I want to hear your thoughts on that, Suresh.
Yeah, I mean, for me, just touching upon Rashford, he has never been an option for me, at least to begin with. The confidence of the boy has dropped, you know, miles, and I'm not going anywhere near him until he bounces back a little bit. So with Sancho, yeah, he definitely is going to be nailed. You know, he's going to own that right-hand spot, and he's going to be driving up. But for me, the factor that you mentioned, the fixture congestion, I mean, not the congestion, the fixture difficulty, that the mixed set of fixtures that we have, that slightly put me off, you know. And I wanted to take a punt on one of the City midfielders, and I wanted to do it in the cheapest way possible at 7 million. So Grealish really looked like, you know, the right choice, and given all the preseason minutes that he had, he's definitely still a risk. You know, there's not a day that goes without any City midfielder that you could pick on. You always have a little bit of doubt in back of your mind, you know. With that said, as I mentioned, I want that cheapest route into City mid. I just have two City players currently in my draft. I want to leave that third you know, slot empty just to see and assess how Haaland performs, and then, you know, quickly want to jump on to Haaland. So that is my thing. But I'm pretty much solid, you know, to begin the season with Grealish.
Interesting. So that's a nice summary of all things across City moves, and Trini and Alex and Suresh have put it brilliantly enough for us to take some insights out of this. So the next is, this section is what I would say, the one where Alex and Srini convinces Suresh on Haaland. So this young striker, he's set for big things in football in general. So, and he's made City his home at least for the next 4-5 years. So, and he's one of the hottest prospects in FPL as well this season, the moment the game went live. And Kane, being in good form in preseason, has not made life easy, because early the template was one of Kane and Haaland and probably Gabriel Jesus, because he's at an insane value. But Kane scored 5 goals and assisted six goal contributions in 4 preseason games against decent oppositions. So that's made life hard to slot all 3 of them together. But still, Haaland is someone that is too hard to ignore, considering everything that we have seen of him, of things that come across. What's your take on him as a as an FPL asset, Alex, to start this?
Yeah, I think to sort of contextualize this first, I think in terms of premiums, if you believe that Salah is the only premium that you're going to captain for the initial period of games, whatever the sort of horizon that you're looking at, it makes sense to go with one premium. Let me first of all contextualize that. I think the second premium comes in when you start to look at the captaincy rotation. And so the big question in deciding between Haaland and one of the Spurs assets is, do you believe that Spurs, or are you going to captain a Spurs asset in combination with Salah, or do you like City's rotation better? So that's the sort of first decision for anyone to make regarding the premiums. When we talk directly about Haaland and the expectations for him, he's had over 150 games, over 150 professional games so far in his career. And sorry, I'm just pulling up the stats right now. So he's had 151 professional club games, and he has 115 starts in that period. And over that time, he's averaged 1.06 goals per 90 and 1.31 goals and assists per 90. When we look at past performances in FPL, that 1.31 goals plus assists per 90 would put him at the top. He's performed consistently with at any club, whether it's been Molde, RB Salzburg, Dortmund. He's performed at a level that is, like Surya said before, he's a generational talent. When we look at him in the short term, that's another question, because we don't know how he's going to ease into this City team. You know, personally, my opinion on it, in terms of minutes, first of all, I think that he gets the majority of minutes in this initial fixture run. The reason being is that Pep wants to play with Haaland. That's sort of the bottom line, is that in Pep's first choice 11, Haaland is in there. That's almost undoubtable. You know, we're not going to see too much of us this season flipping between a true number 9 and someone playing a false 9. And so I think Pep wants us as a system to play with a true 9 as much as possible. And last season, when Grealish was introduced, we saw him start the first 7 games of the season. And so with a big money man coming in, with someone of extraordinary talent like Haaland or Grealish, I expect Pep to want to play him and want him to get acclimated to the Premier League and the squad as quickly as possible by getting as many minutes as possible. Especially since we don't have the most difficult fixtures, he can play him in all these games and, you know, sub him out maybe a bit early, but get him good minutes with different front 3 combinations. I think the bigger issue with Haaland is whether we're going to manage his injuries, and how we're going to manage his injuries. Because we've seen him have injury issues over the course of his career. And one of the decisions in coming to City is that he didn't have to feel the pressure to play every game. And that was important for him in joining City over at Real Madrid. And so I think there's a question mark there. And the question mark is, how much does our management rotate him or rest him or manage his minutes in the beginning of the season? Personally, and if you could go to the next slide with the overperformance, another thing to note throughout his career is that he's had exceptional underlying stats, but he is one of the best finishers in the world. Heung-min Son, as we know, is one of, along with Messi, probably the best finisher in the world. Son has about 40% overperformance on his expected XG over the course of his career. And you can see Haaland on the left there with the blue line. He is approaching that type of territory. You know, he's someone who, if he gets chances, you know, obviously we can be swayed a bit by the performance yesterday of him not putting away those few easy chances. But generally, if he gets chances, he's going to score. And when we look at this City side and we look at our attack, especially against bad teams, City batter bad teams. We have 3 point something XG on average against, 3.29 goals per 90 against the bottom seven XGA teams last year. And so when we look at these first five games and we see Bournemouth in game week two, and we see Nottingham Forest in game week five, alarm bells go off for me right away. Because like I said before, this is the one period of the season where we don't have congestion, we have easy fixtures. It's the most predictable that the City attack will possibly be throughout the course of the entire season. And Haaland, for me, almost becomes a no-brainer because of the potential of that game week two game and the potential of the game week five game. Personally, I don't believe heavy enough in Spurs to start with Kane or Son. I think that weighing up the first two games, this is sort of the approach that I've taken after looking at all this. Looking at the first two games in a bubble, I expect Haaland to play both those two games unless an injury pops up. And obviously I expect Kane and Son to play both those games. You know, they're nailed in that attack. They're the main men. I see Spurs as having one really good fixture and one okay fixture. You know, Chelsea have some defensive issues right now. I think depending on how you weigh that game week two fixture for Spurs is maybe the decision in between choosing. But for me, I don't think that is the best attacking fixture. Whereas we look at City, and that Bournemouth fixture is just as good, if not better, than Spurs game week one fixture. And the game week one fixture against West Ham, I think, is a really good game for us attacking wise. You know, they're not the worst. They're not the best defense. They're not the worst defense. And I expect us to score two or three goals in that game. And so weighing all those things, I think for me, I want to go with Haaland. Unless something comes up between now and the deadline, I want to go with Haaland for game weeks one and two and then assess after that. Because if you set up a safe enough team, you're able to transition him to one of the Spurs guys in game week three. You know, if we have question marks that come up, then it's an easy switch to one of those Spurs guys for their amazing fixture run. When fixture congestion starts up, Haaland is a little bit less of a pick. But when we look at those game week one and two fixtures, it's just too much for me to say no to. I think that all the variables are there, all the factors are there in line for Haaland to succeed in those first two game weeks. But then again, you have two prem-proven assets in Kane and Son who are potentially just as good of picks, you know? So it's a tough decision to make, but me personally, I see the ceiling of that game week two Bournemouth fixture as higher than the ceiling for the Spurs guys in the game week one fixture against Southampton. And I'd rather go with Haaland and try to catch that haul in game week two, along with having a good fixture in game week one and be able to switch off in game week three if I don't like it. Yeah. Rather than starting with the Spurs asset and then trying to switch to Haaland in game week two.
Interesting. That's a fair enough point, because myself, I looked into that Bournemouth game as a really, really good opportunity to own Haaland early in the season. because Bournemouth have been really poor in preseason. They've lost three on the trot. They barely managed to win the first one against Sheffield Wednesday. And they've not signed a centre-back. Nat Phillips was there last season on loan. He's not there anymore. They don't look... There isn't a sign that a new centre-back is coming by then. So that... And considering, as Alex pointed, how badly City beat relegation teams. We've seen it time and again with Watford, with a lot of other teams as well. So that's too good for me to ignore. The same... But I'll move to Srini. So, but isn't... Do you think it's quite risky to start with Kane and then jump to Haaland in game week 2 by booking a transfer, like Varun in the chat pointing out? But how do you see that? Do you start with Haaland? Do you start with Kane, or should you start with both of them?
I am personally looking at starting just Haaland at the moment, because yeah. Kane has had a... I'm slightly thinking playing the wild card till after game week 8 if things go per plan, but I think for the initial physics, I think I have the fear of missing out on Haaland, basically. If I risk Haaland against game week 2, like Bournemouth, or the game week 5 game against Forest, I think even if I... Because those are the two games when everyone would have Salah. Salah has Palace home and Newcastle home in game week 2 and game week 5. These teams are, which I feel, two of the underrated defenses outside top 6 in the Premier League. So I think... The ego factor comes into play there, because I think even if I captain Salah for game week 2 on game week 5, and I think so, but Haaland comes in and scores a 15 pointer in one of those games, there is a potential to get a 15 pointer. I think I have that fear of missing out. Regarding not going Spurs assets at the moment, what I feel is the Spurs goals would again be shared between Kane and Son, is what is my thinking is. Not that all the City goals would come through Haaland, but it makes the decision much easier. Instead of choosing between Kane and Son, I think I can go Haaland and relax for a bit. And like, it's impossible to... I have tried a few premium drafts having Kane, Haaland and Salah. It has a very good potential because of the likes of Neto and Bailey in very good pre-season form, and looks to be starting season with decent fixtures. I think there is a potential for premium also to consider. If things didn't go well, you can potentially hit the game week 4 wildcard. This is the season where you can do that. So I think premium is very much still in my thoughts, but I think I'm personally going with Haaland ahead of Kane and Son at the moment.
Interesting. So for one analogy, I think Suresh will remember this. When Zlatan Ibrahimovic moved to United, the first game he played was against Bournemouth, and then he had an absolute go against them. And I don't know, for some reason, I relate Haaland and Zlatan, maybe physique or whatever it is. But yeah, I still see Haaland having a great, great game against Bournemouth. And I'm personally not a big fan of booking a transfer. Suresh, what's your thoughts on that? You could think of that as well. Maybe you would have thought already, but what's your take on like already prefixing a transfer before you start the season?
Yeah, I generally don't do that. You know, I hate doing booking transfers, going into a new season, or be it, you know, whenever you're planning your wildcard and stuff. That's generally not a good idea, but I might be forced to do that, you know, if at all, if he goes gungo in the first game against West Ham. So probably that'll give me a little bit of fear. But as of now, I'm still, you know, pretty much settled on Kane. So there is a huge fear, that's for sure. I'm not going to lie. So the fear of missing out on Haaland, particularly on the second game, as you guys just spoke about. So that's as good as a game it can get, you know. City can go on full throttle, you know, score 5-6 goals out of that game. He could come out with a hat-trick as well. But it depends on how you manage. As Srini rightly mentioned, there are a couple of premium drafts which you can try out, but somehow it doesn't sit well with the way of style that I play. Somehow the premium, I'm not comfortable with the premium draft. So I'm just going to wait and see, you know, whatever damage that Haaland is going to do me in a Bournemouth game. I'm probably prepared my mind to take that however it comes. And of course, we can't have them all as well. You know, one or the other, we are going to miss out. If Sun goes big on game week 1, most of us don't have Sun. You know, even if it is one of the Spurs asset that most of us have, it is Kane and not Son. So it could flip either way around. So it is all about mitigating those risks and where you try to, you know, catch up and what are the other players that you, you know, primarily trying to target. I just wanted to, you know, start the season with a tried and tested solution, you know, the Salah and Kane combo. And the fixtures is as good as anything, the first game week. And as Alex rightly mentioned, the second game week for Spurs is a little bit tricky. But given the you know, issues going around Chelsea, I don't you know, consider that it's going to be that difficult of a game. There could be still chance that Spurs could come away with a goal or two. So that's the thought process currently.
I mean, to put Suresh in a spot, I would ask a question to him. Like, imagine this case happening, like the Kane blanking in game week one and Haaland getting one or two goals in the win over West Ham. What would you do game week two? You would stay with Kane or move to Haaland? Because it would be already he's 11.5, and if he gets a goal or two, he would be 11.6 or 11.7 in a few days for sure. So
I have 1 million in the bank for that. So with the current draft, yeah, I have 1 million in the bank just to have that cushion, or at least I'm gonna leave 0.5. You know, worst case scenario, definitely.
Something I saw on Twitter that should be true is that Haaland's price should be locked for a decent amount of time after the deadline. We saw last year with Ronaldo, his price was locked for a period. I don't know what that particular period is. But yeah, I think if you're starting with Kane, I don't even know if you need to start with 0.5. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I think that Haaland's price should be locked for a little bit. The one question that I would have for Suresh is, are you considering captaining Kane in any of the initial fixtures over Salah?
The first game, yeah.
Yeah, and I think... I think if you're considering... If you think the Spurs assets are better captaincy assets than Liverpool going into game week one, I would 100% go there. Personally, I'm going to be captaining Salah in that game week one team, regardless of whether I own Kane or Haaland. And so for me, it doesn't necessarily matter for game week one who I own, because even if Haaland, even if one or the other gets, let's say, a hat trick and the other doesn't in the most extreme scenario, I'm not captaining them. And so the sort of payoff isn't as big for getting the right one, and it's not as bad for guessing the wrong one. Whereas when I look at game week two, I still would probably captain Salah. Like, if I had a Spurs asset, I'd be perfectly comfortable captaining Salah in that game week two fixture. But at the same time, I think the upside of the Bournemouth fixture for me outweighs the upside of captaining a Spurs asset in game week one. That's just my position on it. And so I think if you're like Suresh and you believe that Spurs are the best captaincy asset in game week one, I think they're the better pick than Haaland.
Yeah, I think that's a proper conclusion to what we've discussed. In terms of premiums, it's always who you see captaining make a bigger call in deciding on a premium. And it ultimately boils down to each one's team of how they see. If you want Salah in because he's playing another promoted team in game week one, nothing could go wrong. And Spurs and Son and Kane have always fired against Southampton. We've all known that. So that makes him as a great captaincy option as well. I would stick my tongue out and say Haaland 2 is a great game week one captaincy option because West Ham have not had a good preseason. They signed a centre back, but he was injured. They're still going to go back to the same defensive line. The left back is not seeming to come anytime soon. So Haaland 2 is in the mix. So it ultimately boils down to who you desire to captain in game week one and game week two and move around that in the premium aspect. So we are slightly ahead of time. So we'll quickly wrap up the remaining ones. Few things that Alex pointed out, written brilliantly in a common few myths about Haaland is that, is he truly a flat track bully? I don't think so, because I have watched select games of Haaland in big games and he's always done really well. But since there's more data, I think Alex probably touched base on it a little bit more. Yeah.
Yeah, I think looking at Haaland's past statistics, he hasn't been a flat track bully. It's clear that, you know, there. I don't necessarily know if it's true, if there are some players who are specifically thought track players more so than others, or if that's just sort of like variance and coincidences. But I think the more important thing is the two stats, the two lines of stats there at the bottom, where flat track bullies are more about team strength. Last year, Dortmund were weaker against the weakest opposition. They had lower XG numbers. And so assuming that Haaland's goal contribution in a team is a steady percentage, if the team is averaging less XG per game or less goals per game against worse teams, then he's not going to be getting those extra goals. Whereas when we look at City, we perform exceptionally better against the worst defenses compared to the best. And we have seen Haaland throughout his career be a big game player and be very consistent, which I think is important long term when we're thinking about him as a captaincy option. But in the short term, I think it's really important to just look at that, the goals that City normally put up on opponents like we have in the first few weeks against our Bournemouths, against our Forest, and then even the sort of middle or upper tier middle defenses like West Ham, Newcastle, and Palace. It's not the top six defenses. Palace is right on the edge. We've seen some issues with them in preseason. That's the one fixture that I don't think is the best for our attack, but it is at home. But yeah, I think Haaland could easily become a flat track bully because of the team statistics for us.
Yeah. Brilliant. So a few other things that I found interesting from what you wrote while you did that player in focus for Haaland is that it's around 25 to 20, 30 goals if he plays 2,500 minutes. That's pretty much the levels, a golden boot level type of season for a player. If Haaland is injury-free, fingers crossed, how much do you think, Srini, Haaland could score? I'm not going to Alex because he's written it. So I'm going to you to see how much do you think he would score in this season, considering he's fit and firing all season?
Yeah, assuming he plays 2,500 minutes, which we are not sure of, I think I would be little more less generous than Alex. I think I'll go somewhere around 20 goals or 18 goal season, and because I think the goals will be a little more spread, and Haaland will be as Suresh mentioned, his minutes will be managed during the start of the season for sure at some point, not initially, but it will be managed. So I think I'll go with some 18 to 20 goal season for Haaland.
Yeah. One more point about him, his minutes being managed, to Suresh, that he's not someone that's going to go to the World Cup. So he's going to get a big chunk of break in the middle of the season. So that is an added factor in terms of maybe minutes. He might be a little bit more okay to play in the congested period of October, wherein we have CL games every now and then. But that World Cup aspect is also something that that took me interesting, because he could get that, use that break to recharge and then come back. So his minutes might be more guaranteed is what, in my opinion. So, so the final question about Haaland, like how much would, at the moment, I know you said you want to see him in the initial few game weeks, but at the moment, how do you see him as a premium asset compared to another City player in KDB, another premium in KDB, and the likes of Kane and so on? Like, how close do you think he's there at the moment?
I'll begin with KDB. So, as good as a player he is, he's definitely not the kind of FPL assert that we would wish we had in our teams, you know. The confidence level that we have with the likes of Salah, Son, or Kane, you know, when it comes to captaincy, that's why primarily we have the premium assets in our team. Whereas when it comes to KDB, that confidence level it's never been there up until now so far. You know, he's a tremendous player, no doubts about that. But with City, the way they play, as Srini mentioned, the goals spreading out, you know, with different attackers that they have, KDB has never been that kind of a player, though, you know, we could have had him at some point of time. But on the flip side, Kane and Son, they are the tried and tested formula. All these past seasons, you know, in the last 4 or 5 seasons we have seen. So they are always on the top tier, you know, irrespective of how badly they began their season last year, eventually they were able to catch up, you know, once all the managerial change happens, and they had a pretty good preseason. And the entire environment around Spurs is looking good. You know, I expect them to solidly finish in the top four. So the level of importance Kane and Son in the world of FPL is so much more than KDB. Now, comparing that into the likes of Haaland, so for me, it is still, as I mean, I'm going to repeat myself, but it is all about the wait and see approach. Personally, Haaland is no doubt that he is a tremendous talent. He's going to get the league on fire, you know, if he's going to get going in the first couple of games. There's going to be huge amount. I'm still can't get over the fact that, you know, someone like Jesus has more ownership than any of these premium assets, but of course the price factor and all that comes into picture. But definitely Son and Kane are equally on par with Haaland, but it's going to be really interesting to see how things pan out in the first two or three games, and then, you know, people are going to try and catch up, whether you got the right one or not, or whether you have missed out and stuff. So that's how I look at it. They are equal or on par with Haaland, both Kane and Son.
Interesting. So yeah, just another one that I want to point to Alex, because he's been a big Jesus fan, and he coincidentally managed to watch him play against Everton in the preseason. So how good season you think he would have at Arsenal? Because he's the boy's on fire. He's scoring goals for fun, and it's all well-taken goals, not even half-decent chances or something like that. It's well-taken, a striker that's really confident. How excited are you to see Jesus prosper as an out-and-out striker at Arsenal, Alex?
I'm so excited to see him. I think, I mean, I've personally been very high on Arsenal as a project over emerging over the past year or 2 years since Arteta joined. And I think the Jesus signing is really, at this moment, it's the final piece to take that attack to the next level. You know, it's easy to get riled up by the preseason performances because they have just been exceptional. Once we see Arsenal against Premier League opposition, you know, I think next Friday could be a bit of a shock for people because of just Crystal Palace being generally a good defense, even though they've had issues. I think that could cause some people to panic.
Yeah.
But given their fixture run, I mean, Jesus is almost a no-brainer. He looks like he has everything there. I mean, I've been confident in him as a player for so long. When we first signed him from Brazil, I was thinking, here's our next heir to Aguero. It didn't necessarily work out, but I'm very, very excited to see him be the main man in a team, because his game is just so well-rounded, and the Arsenal attack around him is very, very good, and the connection is already there somehow. So I think the potential for him is sky high, and at the worst, I think he'll perform like you expect an 8 million forward to perform.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, because we all thought that Jesus could cover Arsenal attack, but going by the looks of preseason and ownership, I think you would need at least two Arsenal attackers to get a gain out of Arsenal because his ownership is sky high. And yeah, but he's someone that's going to have a good season, according to me. So just wrapping up on Haaland, we would skip this part. We've touched base on this. I'll just, for the audio listeners, two City fans and Alex and Shini have tripled up on the same pair. It's Diaz, Cancelo in defense. They've got double City defense. And Haaland, there's interestingly no City mid in their drafts. Suresh has made it interesting and not boring with the combinations. So he's got Grealish, and he's watched for Grealish just before as well. And he has Cancelo, and he's had his thoughts on Haaland and his approach of having him in some part of the season. And with regards to me, it's Haaland and Cancelo. I was not confident on Mahrez. That is pointed out with both Alex and Srini. Grealish is someone that could work, but I'm still struggling to see how I can sneak that one around. So it's kind of a well-rounded combinations of players, City players amongst the four of us. The last section of the pod is to predict, potentially predict how City will line up in game week one because we cannot predict 100%. Yeah, so I'll start with Srini. So probably could walk around what you think as would be the predicted line.
My predicted line for game week one would be Ederson in goal. From the right, it would be Walker, Diaz, Ake, and Cancelo. In the mid three, it is pretty much locked at the moment. It's Rodri, De Bruyne, and Bernardo Silva. Front three, I would still go, for the game week one, I think it would be Mahrez, Haaland, and Grealish. That's it. Only certain doubts are Ake, Stones might play for Ake, which I think won't happen in game week one. The other slot is Foden pushing Grealish or Mahrez for a slot. I think that also it will happen in after a few games is what is my thinking is.
Yeah, perfect. Alex, over to you.
Yeah, to approach it a bit of a different way, I think there are six names who are 100% nailed going into game week one in the game week one team. Obviously, Ederson's going to start in goal. Cancelo and Diaz are going to be in that back line. Rodri and KDB will be in the lineup. And then Haaland is going to be starting as the nine. I think those are all sort of, unless something happens between now and our game week one game, that those players will be nailed in. I think, like Srini said, Bernardo is almost 100% in there as that other center mid in the midfield. A big question that I have for the back line that I saw someone raise on Twitter is whether Ake gets used as a left back in this game because of Bowen. I think that's very plausible. You know, we saw Cancelo's 1v1 defending yesterday against Salah. It's pretty atrocious. And I think that Pep wants Cancelo to be involved as much in the attack as possible. And so I think Ake at left back and Cancelo at right back could make sense. But likewise, I think the back line that Srini talked about with Walker, Diaz, Ake, and Cancelo is the more likely one. I expect Grealish on the left wing. And then I would expect Mahrez as the favorite on the right wing, but I would not at all be surprised to see either Foden or Alvarez start on the right wing. And I think that might surprise some people. But I think given what we've talked about with the pressing with Mahrez, given Mahrez's somewhat poor performances in preseason, and just generally given that Pep doesn't give Mahrez a lot of Premier League game time at the beginning of the season, really, I'm just really... I still think he's the favorite for that spot for the West Ham game in particular, but I really think that he could be out of that lineup in game week one.
Interesting. So that's a proper conclusion. So Mahrez is not rated by two City fans. This is one of the main conclusions from this
stream. If I could add in one thing to give a bit of assurance to Suresh possibly. One of the biggest questions for me, you know, I only have in my draft probably three or four spots that are up for debate before Friday. And one of the biggest questions there is whether I go with Diaz or Grealish for my third City spot. I'm going to be on three City to start. But I really want to put Grealish in there. The question is more so with my team particularly, I have to downgrade either James or Diaz to Perisic or Doherty. And so my inclusion of Grealish is not necessarily picking Diaz over Grealish. It's more so that I feel better about Reece James than the Spurs defenders right now. But I very well may end up on Grealish for game week one.
Yeah.
That's good to hear, man. Yeah. that has given me a little bit of confidence going into the game week one.
I think Suresh is one happy man moving out of the stream. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but, definitely.
Yeah. As pointed out at the beginning, so the idea was to do City alone because there's so much to talk about, and that's probably reflected around the time that you've done this. But I'm really happy that we covered most of the topics, and it would be great that any watchers, listeners, follow Alex on Twitter. He's someone who's a sound Man City fan, one of the best writers I've come across that is written for All But FPL as well. I'm heaping praise, but it's the best. It's guaranteed that his work is that way. The same goes with Suresh as well. He's a very sound fan. He's a very great FPL manager in terms of how he manages his team. He's calm, he's composed. And yeah, Srini, I don't have to tell about Srini, so it's all good between us. So thanks for joining. Thanks for listening. It's new for All About FPL to be in the video and audio side of things. So consider any feedback across so we can improve, and do subscribe, like, share, etc. And you'll be seeing a lot more of all of us in this season ahead. Thanks, Alex. Thanks, Suresh. And thanks, Srini, for joining. I'm sorry.